We gather on this first Sunday after Christmas Day to keep these 12 days of Christmas, the beginning, really, of our celebration in which we rejoice, in which we give thanks for the incarnation of God in our midst, for the birth of this baby in Bethlehem, this child Jesus, who is God come among us. And I'm struck at some of the contrast between Christmas Eve and today, particularly in our Gospel. Christmas Eve, we have that account of shepherds, those people living at the margins of society, to whom an angel comes, and then the host of God. Shepherds who have that gift of glimpsing eternity, glimpsing heaven, glimpsing those angels worshiping God. We have that account in Luke of Mary and Joseph having no place to get a room, the inn being full, and this baby being born in an animal trough. Today we read from John, who doesn't have any of those details, who doesn't tell that kind of story. We don't have a dramatic vision of angels or of Mary and Joseph in an animal shed. We don't have shepherds coming to witness to this child and all they have seen and heard. Instead, we almost take a step back and have this larger, more cosmic sense of the incarnation. For John sees in the incarnation the Word, that same Word spoken over the waters of creation, spoken at the beginning of time itself. That Word becoming incarnate in the person Jesus, in this one born of Mary. And so it is, as hard as it is to grasp, and I think frankly impossible to grasp, the ineffable, the eternal, the infinite loving God accepts the limitations of humanity, coming among us as a baby, being born in finite humanity. God so loving us as to desire to not just be in relationship with us, but to dwell literally with us, to put on human flesh, to stoop, as it were, to human life in order to raise humanity towards divinity. So much does God love us. And so we have that beautiful language in John of the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that eternal Word. Now in our midst, we can see, touch, experience in an incarnate way that love of God. And John also talks about the light, the Word that is the light coming into the world, a world full of darkness, and yet that darkness does not overcome that light. I'm struck, and I said this also on Christmas Eve, I'm struck this Christmas in particular of the Word becoming incarnate in a world that seems full of hatred and sin and greed and division, full of violence and war, full of fear, full of suspicion of those who might be different from us, those we do not know. St. John Chrysostom, in a sermon on the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, talks about the fact that the incarnation changes everything, that if we took the incarnation seriously, there would be no need for laws or courts or punishment, for we would not harm another person. There would be no more theft or violence or murder. There'd be no more greed. We would live in that love of God, knowing that God loves us, that we are beloved of God. And the sin and the strife and the brokenness of our world would not exist. Sadly, we humans do not seem to fully grasp or be able to live in that light or live by that love of God. This is a year in which, among many other ills that plague our world, we have a serious refugee crisis. The New York Times recently said that in 2015, thus far, over 1 million people have fled to Europe. There are 20 million refugees seeking a home, fleeing violence and danger. On Christmas Eve, in the New York Times, there was an article, and it began with this sentence: "No one noticed the man with two trays of frosted cupcakes." Well, that got my attention. That sounds interesting. And the article goes on to say, here's a man, a father, who's buying treats for the holiday party for his children's school. He has 4 children. He has a wife. He has a Christmas tree on his lawn, the lawn that is in Houston, Texas. He drives an SUV. It is the Sunday after Christmas. And he chain smokes. And he is 33 years old. Sounds like a sort of typical person, doesn't it? But it turns out he's also Muslim. His name is Kamal. I hope I'm saying that right. And just about a year ago, last January, he came from Syria with his wife and his children. In Syria, he was a cook. He had a catering business in Damascus, and he hopes one day to open a Middle Eastern restaurant in this country. In 2011, in Damascus, he joined an anti-government demonstration. He was arrested by the government at that demonstration and spent 14 months detained by the military. During that time he was detained, he was beaten, he was given electric shocks, and one of his kidneys was removed. And he doesn't know fully why. But he says, "They took my kidney like as a punishment. I feel like I lost a part of my humanity there." And so he decided to flee Syria after that experience. In fact, he couldn't stay in Syria because the government now considered him to be against them. He does not accept the values of the Islamic State. He is not that conservative. So he and his family decided to come to this country. It took 2.5 years for them to be processed and finally resettled in Houston. And now he is experiencing a state in which Texas officials are fighting in federal court to block the resettlement of refugees. And Houston is one of the cities in the country that has actually accepted a fair number of refugees from Syria. Now, he says he's not experienced hatred from his neighbors, most of whom are Christian, but he is angered at the position and the rhetoric of state officials. Here's what he says. "Why did you bring me here, and what then, you let the people hate us? You're bringing me here, and you tell me to blend into society, and then you tell the society that these guys might be terrorists and just be afraid. It doesn't make any sense." I have to say, I agree, it doesn't make any sense. The light has come among us, and yet we refuse to walk in that light, seeing those different from us as strangers, living by fear instead of trusting that in the incarnate Word, there is nothing to fear. God is with us in our very midst, and then we are called to reflect that light outward and to not give in to the fear, but to welcome all in the name of Jesus, in the love of God, especially refugees. The Archbishop of Canterbury, in his Christmas message, acknowledged what a difficult year this has been. And he talked especially about how difficult it is for our Muslim brothers and sisters in this climate of fear and suspicion. In an attempt to keep our nation safe in the West, we are anathematizing Muslims. He said, "Jesus showed us the infinitely surprising ways that we can love one another. And so we ought to do so." And they asked the question then, how do we love one another? Here's what Archbishop of Canterbury said. "For me, it is about responding to the love we're given by God at Christmas by offering it to those who might be feeling like they are on the margins, just like Jesus and his family were. That could be inviting your neighbor around for dinner or a cup of tea. It could be striking up that conversation in the school playground. It could be simply sitting next to that person on the bus who others seem nervous about sitting with. Try it. Take the risk. See what happens. As Christians, we are called to be people who take that first step, who take the risk of kindness because we believe the other person is a gift to us from God, just as we can be a gift to them. We're called to be a people who don't accept narratives that seek to divide us as communities wherever we hear them, because we have a better narrative, that God poured out his love for us by sending his Son to be with us in a world of fear and danger. We have the capacity to share that risk-taking love with whoever we discover is our neighbor, not just this Christmas, but always." And so as we keep these 12 days of Christmas, let us not just give thanks for the incarnation, for the eternal Word come among us, for heaven and earth meeting in that child of Bethlehem, but let us take seriously that call to let the light of Christ transform us, that we might be people who incarnate that love of God, who take that risk, who live those risky lives of being Christian, that we welcome all in the name of Christ, that we work for justice, and that we not only allow that light to transform us, but we then are beacons reflecting that light into all the places of hurt and violence and hatred in our world. May the love of God transform us and this world this Christmastide. Amen.